As we move into the 5 o'clock hour, it is time now to talk with Jonathan Jones. He's presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Jonathan, do we have you?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
Oh, it's going. How is things going with you? This was a tough day, obviously. A lot of words got said after another tough loss, this time across the pond over in England. Jonathan, you, of course, remember the Germany game last year and all the sort of things that surrounded that. Was this sort of a similar feel? Did this feel like this loss maybe had more of an impact than another loss on the schedule?
I just think it's just adding to, you know, we've kind of been on a downward spiral here. And it just kind of added to it. You know, we weren't able to, you know, put our foot down and change the course of how the season has been going. So I say just to make that trip out there, we wanted that to be a pivotal point, you know, try to turn the season around and get headed in the right direction. And we weren't able to do that.
Defensively, there was an issue with the run game. I think there was one stretch there where they ran it like 19 straight plays. I'm just wondering, and I know it's more about the front seven than you guys in the back end, but what was that frustration of just not being able to get off the field, not being able to stop the run?
Well, it was tough. I mean, that's kind of what we pride ourselves on is, you know, being able to stop the run, making teams be one-dimensional and pass the ball. And we just, you know, weren't able to do that last game. There was a lot of different reasons for that. We just weren't able to get it done.
Drake May, who is waiting in the lobby right now to come in and talk with us, as a matter of fact, Jonathan, said that you gave a speech after the game. Do you want to tell us what the tone and tenor of that was and what you said to the team after a tough loss there in England?
It was just more of a response of, hey, as guys, it's our team. You know, we have to pick it up. It's on us. And just show some type of resilience. And that when things start to get downhill, we have to find a way to turn that around. And it starts, you know, with each one of us looking at ourselves in the mirror, you know, and through adversity, you see what type of man you are. And we're in the middle of adversity. And so just challenging guys to look themselves in the mirror and continue to move forward.
I know it's tough to judge these things when you're the one making the speech, but do you feel like it landed in the locker room or maybe fell on deaf ears? Like, how do you think it was received?
No, I think the team just understands what we need. You know, I think the thing is, at this point, it's become repetitive. Whether I'm saying it, coach saying it, someone else is saying it, other leaders on the team, it's just becoming repetitive what's being said. And at some point, you know, you just have to go out there and do it. You know, and that's another part of my message is it'll continue to be the same thing if we don't go out there and actively change it.
As a veteran and leader of this team for a long time, is it concerning to you that we – I don't want to say have pointing of fingers, but we have things popping up on social media. We have guys questioning egos and different things within the game plan in the locker room. Are those little brush fires, are those concerning to you as a team leader?
No, I think that happens. And it's the leader's job to just get those guys on the same track as everyone else. It's a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport. You can't point fingers to one person when we win. And you definitely can't point fingers to one person when we lose. We just have to stick together and fight. You know, this is our team. This is the team we have for this year. And we have to stick together through whatever comes our way.
I know we walked it back a little bit this morning on the Greg Hill Show, Jonathan, but what was your initial reaction to Coach Mayo calling you guys soft?
Well, that's his opinion, and I always take the opinions of what our coaches say to heart, you know, and that was the opposite, you know, of a soft team is a tough team, and we pride ourselves around here on being able to stop the run the ball, and cover kicks, and if you look at our last game, we didn't do any of those, so I don't think we have any space, you know, to call ourselves a tough team, you know, based off our last performance. So we weren't able to stop the run, we weren't able to run the ball, and we weren't able to cover kicks.
Turning the page forward, I know you guys always talk about the beauty of this league is there's another opportunity. On Sunday, you have a Jets team that's scuffling in their own right coming to Gillette Stadium. Aaron Rodgers, they bring in Davante Adams. You know, what do you make of that matchup and a chance to maybe get off the schneid here?
Yeah, it's two teams that need a win once again, and we're going to have to hone in, you know, hone in our fundamentals and just go up to play football on Sunday, and that's what it's going to come down to. Who can show up and execute? You know, that's the big name of the game is execution. It's not, you know, talking about a game plan. It's not talking about, you know, how much better we can be or what we can be. It's rolling out there on Sundays and executing.
What's one thing that you think you could be doing better, Jonathan?
Just continue to fly around, and just try to make plays. I think that's everybody's job, is to try to fly around and make plays, and just do more, you know, and not get outside of ourselves. It's something else I said to the team, not press, you know, don't press to make plays. Just make the plays that come your way. When it's your opportunity, you make the plays.
He's sitting to my right, but what have you seen from Drake May?
And he just put on a headset, too, so he can hear you. Whole answer, just so you know.
what have you seen from Drake May in his first couple of weeks as the starting quarterback of this football team?
Just consistency and confidence. And that's something I talked about when he was first getting the start, was just his confidence, how he carries himself, even keel, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. You know, he turns around, throws a touchdown, and he doesn't act like the world, you know, is – at his feet, and at the same time, when he does make a bad play, he owns it. He owns that responsibility and tries to come out on the next play and play better, and just continuing to build that confidence and consistency.
Seems like guys are going on social media after these games, kind of venting a little bit. What's your thought on that, and is that something that, as a leader on the team, you might encourage guys to maybe chill out with a little bit?
Yeah, I think it never does good for you. I don't think there's any space where running to social media, you know, after a game, whether win, lose, or draw, that it really does anything good for you as a team, especially when it's bringing about division. So just understanding that when you speak, sometimes you're speaking for the whole team and not just yourself. And just guys need to recognize that. It's a part of it. You know, a lot of the younger guys don't understand that aspect of team ball, and that's something they'll continue to figure out.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. Jonathan Jones, thanks so much for the time today. Good luck next week against the Jets.
Thank you. Y'all guys have a good one.
Thanks, all right, John. That is Jonathan Jones joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. And since he's sitting here right now, and might as well go ahead and just do a nice long segment, right?
Absolutely.
Just do our full interview segment's all right here. As Drake May joins us, he's brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Get next-day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Drake, hello. Welcome. How you doing? Oh, we don't have Drake. Can we get some sound there for the QB, please? Let's try again. How you doing there, Dre? Nope, still nothing. Let's try this headset. How about there? Let's go grab that one. And that's okay. We can vamp on the fly.
We adjust
here.
On the fly.
Something all right, check one. There we go.
Yeah, there it is.
That's what we're looking for. Drake, obviously another tough loss here. It seems like as you guys continue on through the season here, you're finally getting your start to go out and play. You've played well. You've put up some good numbers. Does it feel like you're progressing in a way that you're comfortable with right now from these first two games, 1-2 here?
Yeah, I think any time for a young quarterback getting out there, you know, each and every week and continuing throughout the weeks and looking at the film, looking at last week's film from Houston, I feel like I did some things better, and also there's still a lot to prove on. So the big thing is we need to get some wins in the win column. That's what we're all striving for. So we need to play complimentary football. That's what Coach Mayo's been preaching. And I think as the weeks continue to come on, pass by, I feel like I'm gonna start seeing some things better, and feeling some different things out, and protection, whether protection wise, or coverage wise, or even just leadership wise. As the season goes on, I'm gonna do a better job of growing in that aspect.
You've been consistent talking about the need for a win before you even played. I think that first week you talked about we're a 1-4 team. We need a win. We need a win. Do you have to be careful to not put too much stock in that when you guys are in a losing streak? Like, can that be a negative where maybe there's are some improvements coming and it's not necessarily leading to victory? Is there a balance there, I guess?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think there is a balance. Coach, AVP, preaching, the offensive meeting today, there's things we're continuing to get better at. You can see it on film, and there's also things that, just can't have happen. We gotta be able to run the football. And it goes back to what Coach Mayo said. We gotta, stop the run and run the football and be good, covering kicks. That's what, you heard, Jonathan just say that. That's kind of the staple of, what's been successful here with the Patriots. And I think kind of once we lose that is, when we kind of get off track. So to find that and find the staples of playing football, in the NFL and those things. And I think, once those things come, I think we can find ourselves, back in the win column.
The run game has obviously taken a bit of a step back, and I don't think it's because you started playing quarterback, but for whatever reason, that's something that's happened in your first two starts. Do you feel sort of added pressure to go out and throw maybe more than you were expecting to, with the run game not really connecting the way you were hoping it would? I mean, Coach always talks about how that's the identity of the offense. You guys are a run-first team. It hasn't really been for your two starts.
Yeah, I think that's something that, we're preaching in there in the offensive meeting room of, getting the run game going. Any NFL team wants to get the run game going. So, I have full confidence goes guys, coming out here next week, and I think we need to adjust on maybe some different runs. And, AVP spoke on that, to set our guys up for the, best successful. But we got some good backs that can make some guys miss and, you know, can pick up some good yardage. So, you know, credit to those guys up front. They're blocking their butts off. And, you know, pass pro with us was awesome this past weekend. And, you know, I think those guys are battling. They're playing different spots. And, you know, guys are getting injured and coming in and playing different spots that they hadn't practiced. So, they're put in a tough spot. And I think they're, you know, responding well.
One of the talking points last week was get off to a faster start. You guys were able to do that. It seemed like the passing game was a big part of that. You were kind of dropping back early. And then, so two-part question, how good was that to feel to get off to the fast start after you practiced it? But then it kind of got away from you. Did play calling take you out of your rhythm? I know you guys started running the ball a little bit more without a ton of success. Did that maybe adversely affect the momentum of the offense?
No, I think I was proud of those guys for how we started. You know, I think I made one missed throw there, makes it 14-0. You know, I think that's a big difference in the ball game. Missed KB and, you know, had a chance on that one. But, no, I think, you know, second quarter, I think just went down to execution. You know, we didn't execute. I think, you know, we had made one first down on a you know, ball over the hoop across the middle, you know, on a little, you know, shallow cross concept. So, you know, other than that, I think we got to find ways to move the chains. I think we can't find ourselves in third and long. I think we had ourselves in a couple third and longs that, and we had a false start. So I got to do a better job communicating, and it really falls back on me. I think, you know, second quarter wasn't really play calling. I think it was just execution from our guys. And I think we kind of got not high on our, you know, horses there from the start, but I think we need to, you know, can sustain that and continue it throughout the ball game.
Now, this isn't something we know because we're not down there on the field with a headset on or anything, but how much freedom or liberty would you say you have when you get out there and take a look at the defense and what you have to change the play or to audible into something else or maybe go in a different direction if you see something that you like? Is that something you feel like you have freedom to do at this point?
Yeah, I think, you know, something that, you know, I think that comes with the offense, you know, knowing the ins and outs and, you know, playing out there and seeing different things. Hey, this comes scenario comes up again. I maybe want to do this. I think it, you know, comes of with playing throughout the weeks. And you know, I wouldn't say I'm weak. You know, my third start. I wouldn't say I'm, you know, necessarily changing complete plays out there. But I think AVP does a nice job of giving me some freedom to, you know, change some things, hop the back, you know, change protection, little things like that can go a long way.
Are you a leader on this football team?
I think you know starting to become you know more of a leader. I think that's a big thing as a quarterback. You know, need to lead these guys. You know, I think I need to say more. I need to be, you know, be more positive on the sideline and sort of pump people up and fly around. And, you know, AVP always preaches, you know, pick people up once they're on the ground or getting tackled. And I think I need to show some of that for myself, not that, you know, just the quarterback standing in the back. So I think it comes, you know, as the season goes on. I'm not trying to come in there and be the rah-rah guy, right, when I, you know, get the nod to, you know, as a starter. But I think it comes with, you know, playing football and making plays.
Does a leader also have to be willing to call guys out or sort of get them back in line if they get out of line? We were talking earlier, early in my tenure here covering this team, Willie McGinnis and Rodney Harrison, and there were some of those guys that weren't afraid to kick guys in the butt if they needed it. Do you feel like sometimes a leader isn't just building guys up but also getting them back in line?
No doubt. I think that that definitely plays a part. I think you kind of treat guys differently based on, you know, their relationship with them and kind of their personality. Think of those guys up front, just keep pumping them up. You know, they're fighting their butts off all game and oftentimes don't get the credit that they deserve. So maybe those guys up front pump them up, or maybe a guy, you know, like Hunter that I'm, you know, starting to build a relationship with, I can kind of get on them, hey, Hunt, I need you there, or Hoop, you know, those tight end guys that I, you know, feel like we build a nice connection with, like maybe get on those guys a little more than maybe the offensive line or you know, some of the receivers.
You mentioned the tight ends. For receivers, it seems like a lot of those guys are frustrated right now. In the games before you started playing, you could see it sort of on the field, guys being demonstrative with what Jalen Polk's been putting on Instagram and KJ Osborne and some of these other things that you're just seeing with guys. Do you feel like that's something you can positively affect, these frustrated guys here who feel like they're either not getting the ball enough or not playing enough or whatever? Is that something you feel like you can have an effect on?
Yeah, 100%. You know, as a quarterback of the football team, you know, that's, I think my job is honing those guys in, you know, keeping them in line and also giving them chances on the field. I think it comes with that. I think those guys are good players and they just want to, you know, make plays and you want the football in their hands, so you can't get mad at them for that part. I just think those guys, you know, as the season rolls on and, you know, these weeks come by, I think they're going to get more and more opportunities, and I'm looking forward to seeing them make some plays.
One of the things we've talked a lot about with Jerod Mayo taking over this year is culture, and just he's installing his culture, and it's different than what was here in the past, and what kind of culture is that? Young team, different things. In a short period of time, what is the culture of this team all about, do you think?
Yeah, Coach Mayo always preaches, you know, hard work works, you know, and working hard and dropping your ego at the door, and I think these guys are, and, you know, we're learning that. I think there's been some times where, you know, guys are, you know, having to, you know, figure that out. We got a lot of a really young team, so the guys are starting to figure that out and buy into the process. And, you know, we always preach, you know, process and payoff and, And also there's some things that come along, and we've had some bumps in the road, but I think these guys are starting to figure it out, and I think he's starting to challenge us. You know, really, what is the identity of this football team? What do we want to be this year? As the season goes on. So he said today in the meeting, we're 1-6 football team. We are what we put out there. So I think we have some guys that are going to make some shifts in the way they approach things and hopefully get back on track.
There is a lot of debate over the two-point conversion. If you could go back and do it again, do you think it would have been better to kick there, or would you have gone for two again? 8 minutes left and all that time still to go in the fourth.
Yeah. I think we're a slip away from making it a seven-point game. So it's tough to say from now, from after. It's like the guy in film saying, hey, you should have thrown this guy holding the clicker last. It's one of those things. But, yeah, I think there's two ways to look at it. Hey, if we get it there, then – we make it, seven-point game. The defense is riled up, and hey, if we don't get it, then we know, how much we're down and what the defense needs to do, and then make it a two-possession game. So,
not to give you an excuse, but it looked like Pop Douglas was sort of primed to be a big part of the game plan early, and then you went to him a couple times early, then motioning different things, formationing. Then he was sick. How much did that affect sort of the evolution of the game with him having to go out?
Yeah, anytime Pop's out there, he helps us. He's a great player, and he makes a lot of plays. Made the first third down of the game, made a nice catch, and was getting involved. Yeah, two of the first three plays. So yep. He's a good ball player for us, and it's a bummer not having him out there. But I'm sure he'll be back and ready to go this week.
Have you built a rapport with him? It seems like even in training camp, it seemed like whether it was Jacoby or you, it was like, well, the rubber's meeting the road here. Where's Pop? I might want to go to Pop here. He gets open. Is he that kind of guy that we've seen for years at that position?
No doubt. Yeah, a guy like I said, seen for years in this Patriot, in Patriot uniform. He's a slot that get open, and you can trust him, and he's tough to guard, and especially in man coverage. That first third down, he's tough to run with. He's fast. He's quick, and a guy like that through in college is Josh Downs, and they remind themselves of each other. So it's easy for me to find Pop, and just still building that relationship. Missed him across the middle last week, against the Texans. So I'm still building some things.
You mentioned after the game sort of the frustration in the second half in particular of being on the sideline while Jacksonville kind of controlled the time of possession. You had, statistically, you were one of the top three quarterbacks who played this week. I mean, really, just by the stats, you were right up there with Allen and Hurts and sort of everybody else. How frustrating is it being on the sideline knowing you've got it going and you're, making plays and scoring points and you just can't get the ball? What's that sort of feel like?
Yeah, I think it's easy to, pass blame around. I think it comes back to us staying on the field. We had a chance in there in that third quarter, got the ball back like 10 minutes left, and didn't put a drive together to keep us on the field. So that falls back on us, and it's easy to pass blame around and point the finger, but really when you have opportunities and you don't make the most of them, I think it comes back on staying on the field, picking up first downs, helping defense out. We helped them out in the first quarter, and they're playing well. So I think it doesn't do the job when we're not staying on the field. And I think the Jaguars did have a nice game plan of running the football and scheme some stuff up.
I saw you nodding when Jonathan Jones was giving a little scouting report of what he's seen from you. He talked about sort of staying even keel, not too high, not too low. Is that scouting report what you're trying to accomplish? Is that what you're trying to put out as you kind of establish yourself as the quarterback?
I think so. I think you have to. Yeah, stay even keel throughout the tough moments and even throughout the bright spot moments. I think I need to do a better job of get excited when we do something good and show those guys that I can get fired up. And like you said, many to add in there. And if you get on some guys and put some fire in their butts to get it going and.
Couple F-bombs.
Yeah.
You just swear? F-bombs?
Yeah. Hey, out the field, some stuff to say that you don't repeat. But I think some of that may need to come along as the season goes on the road. I think I may need to add that.
All right. The quarterback question of the week brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. The question this week comes to us from Jay in Lincoln, and he says, Drake, which quarterback do you get compared to the most?
Which quarterback do I get compared to the most? I think just because of my frame, either Josh or Herbert, probably those two. But I think those two are great players that are winning some football games. So hopefully need to follow them up in that side of that category. But other than that, probably those two guys, and those guys are great football players. So I got a long way to go before I'm at their point.
Do you see it? Because I was listening to Josh McDaniels, and he was talking about you, and one of the things he said was he wasn't sure where your evolution would take you, more of a pocket passer or a Josh Allen who really likes to run and really likes to prove he can do things with his feet. Do you see one more than the other? Do you see your future in a certain mold more than the other, pocket passer versus, I'm going to run a bit?
Yeah, I think going, you know, preserve and try to play as long as I can and take care of my body. So I'll try to get those guys that are better runners than me the football. That's the plan. But at the same time, you know, not lose sight of the fact that I can go make some plays. So, you know, really I just come try to, you know, try to stay in the best shape I can to make some guys miss and pick up some first downs. But at the same time, try to focus on, you know, getting those guys to rock.
All right, Drake May, thanks so much for the time. Great to talk with you. Good luck against the Jets this weekend.
Sweet. Thank you.
All right, that's Drake May, quarterback of the Patriots, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll take a quick break. Drew Braverman will get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, we'll reset on a couple of topics here and digest what we just heard from both quarterback Drake May and defensive back Jonathan Jones. Both had a lot to say on a tumultuous Patriots Monday here at Gillette. That was Drake May with us just a few moments ago. He had a lot to say. I thought that it was pretty, considering, you know, this has been a tough couple of games here, and that was a bad, bad loss to a bad, bad team. Both him and Jonathan, was, right? Am
I
wrong?
A bad, bad loss to a bad, bad team.
A bad, bad loss. Maybe did a bad, bad thing.
Bye.
Yeah, it was. I mean, really, like, that was it's a nice way of putting it. I mean, you could say worse, I guess, but, like, that's what it was. And everybody seems to be open to communicating about it and not really having any sort of misgivings about reacting to things that the coach said. Jonathan Jones, I mean, that's his opinion about us being soft. You had Drake talking about his receivers, Hunter Henry, the other guys there. I mean, this is it's different, I guess. It's just a very sort of more open and accessible group of people. And even after bad losses, I feel like in the past, after a loss like that, no one's saying anything. No one wants to say the wrong thing, misstep, go in the doghouse, anything like that. There's no real fear of that this year, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah.
Not that these guys said anything wrong, but, you know.
No, and in fact, I liked, big surprise, Andy, you're a May guy, but I liked what I heard from him in terms of the leadership and growing into a leader, good leader, a-hole leader, whatever you want to call it, a more attacking leader or trying to get guys to do what they need to do. And I do think for him, it is a weird dynamic on a lot of levels. You are the rookie quarterback. So some of it is STFU and do your job. But it's not like he's joining Gronk and Edelman in this established core of receivers where he should be walking on eggshells. If I were him, I'd look around the huddle and be like, wait a minute. Who the F are y'all?
Right.
I'm the number three pick here. I'm the franchise quarterback. You've done nothing. And if you're not watching on Twitch, I'm kind of pointing to the entire huddle
everybody,
around
right.
me.
Yes, no one's right? done anything.
Like,
yes.
Even Mike Onwenu, who should be one of the longer tenured, highest paid, what have you done? David Andrews isn't here.
Right.
It'd be one thing if he was looking across the huddle to David Andrews and be like, okay, you want to run this or should I? Like, deferential to him? But who are you deferring to in that huddle that is some outspoken, established, proven leader, contributor? You're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
Y'all need to be better on the field. Y'all need to lead in a better way. And
he's talented, but he doesn't strike me as a type A the way like Brady was or, you know, some other.
See, that's
QB.
Where I'm
like,
trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out where that mentality is. And that was sort of the reasoning behind the focusing on wins question.
Right.
Because I'm wondering, you know my theory, losing crushes everyone.
Yep.
He's fixated on winning. Before he had a first start, he's like, I kind of know why I'm starting. We're 1-4. We need a win. That's why they're making a change, basically. Well, what if the win doesn't come? What if they get to 1-7, 1-8, 1-9, 1-10? How is he going to deal with the disappointment of not winning, not getting the payoff for what he thinks he's working toward, especially if there's games like Sunday?
Right.
Where if he wanted to be an I guy and a me guy, he could probably sit back and look at the stats and be like, well, I kind of did my job. Maybe if the defense got me the damn ball back more often or whatever. So I think he's in a precarious situation as a leader. As a developing franchise quarterback, there's a lot that he has to navigate here, not unlike his head coach. The difference is, I think he's been better at it from day one. I think he has navigated.
He's the best player on the team.
No. I mean everything. What
said. Sure, right,
Like, correct me if I'm wrong. Have you heard any beep, beep, beep back? Like, oh, I misspoke when I was on EEI on Monday.
Definitely not.
Because he does the same thing.
Definitely
Wednesday,
not.
He'll be at the podium.
Yep.
So he could say, no, I should have never brought up Hunter Henry. I should have never brought up X. I haven't heard him have to do that. Didn't hear him have to do that in the summer. He has done his difficult job from April through now better than the head coach has. That's probably part of the problem.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
I'd agree with that. 617-779-7937. Let's get to a couple calls here. Before we get to odds and ends, Cam is in Wilmington. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, guys. What's up? Great show, as always. Wanted to jump in and talk about May's comments there, Bill. Some of the younger players needing to kind of check their ego in the door. I know we've heard a lot of players say that, but it's almost like the message needs to be like, all right, we've been trying to do it your way. You guys aren't good enough right now to have this kind of I'm an alpha, I'm an elite player mentality because we're not winning. So why don't we try doing it Coach Mayo's way and see if we can start winning some games? And I think right now, if that message isn't getting through, I think you're going to have to start benching some of these players and sending a message. And also, if they're veterans doing the same thing, trade deadline's coming up. I think you got to move them for some draft picks if they're not going to buy in, because that's not good for the locker room.
Yeah, Cam, I agree with you 100%. The only thing I caution against when it comes to moving on from these veterans, like why we talked about this, you get to the trade deadline, you look at Jonathan Jones and Wise and Godchild, all these other guys. You trade all those away. I mean, you think you have a leadership problem now? You trade away all your veterans. Like, you know, then what?
Yeah, but if they're not
going to get better?
Okay, I think Jonathan Jones is a good leader. I think Dietrich Wise is a good leader. Haven't heard a ton from him this year. He doesn't seem like he's been involved pro or
con
much.
Yeah, true. I mean, I know he's been on with Middays a few times.
Yeah, but I don't know that it's really resonated or been poignant or anything. Devon Godshaw, I don't know. But I don't even know if you can move on from him. You gave him more guaranteed money.
I know.
I feel like he's the one guy that might be a – I'm not taking some big dead cap hit to unload Devon Godshaw. I also don't know who wants Devon Godshaw.
Good point. Yeah.
Like a run stuffer. And I know all some statistics somewhere will tell me he's really good at stopping the run. I wish my eyeballs told me he was part of a defense that was good stopping the run. So, yeah, I agree with you in a sense, but if the leaders are being negative, and that was my point, I don't think they're being negative. John Jones, like guys that you might – Wise. Mm-hmm. I don't think those are negative leaders right now. But you're right. If you take – that's even worse. If you take away a couple good leaders and leave less negatively, like
– yeah.
The whole culture, and I know they're trying to be positive about the culture, but aren't they seeing all this? I actually went back and looked to check because I wanted to double check what he does. He doesn't do social media.
Jonathan Jones?
No, Drake May.
Drake May doesn't at all.
He has an account, but very few and far between. Basically, he might have retweeted one Patriot thing from like August.
He's on Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's few, and even going back to like college, it's like to support teammates or a charitable event or there's no day-to-day.
His bio just says QB.
Yeah, it's very simple. Yeah. It's basic. He's a basic bitch.
He just got to follow for me. Instagram, I don't know. Instagram, maybe the girlfriend runs the Instagram. It could be something like that.
He seems like he's keeping a distance from that. And I know we didn't get a chance to go down the road of logos and didn't seem like the appropriate time. I actually wanted to ask him about Aaron Rodgers, but that didn't seem like the appropriate time either.
Yeah, we'll ask him that next week. After
he faces his goat.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. 617-779-7937. Let's try Matt in Rhode Island. You have the last word. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? No, I think, Andy, what you said at the beginning of the show is spot on. Like, I really like this kid, how he, on the field, you would think after that game that they played, it would be a last possession game, but, the team hasn't got his back right now. And I wanted to ask you, Andy, did you get to see a lot of practices when you were with the Patriots? Because I'm just wondering what is going on in practice that their execution should be this bad during games, both, with penalties and just seemingly it's just all out of sorts. There's no tackling. The receivers are all over the place. It's just a train wreck right now. And the last caller just mentioned how Gerard Mayo wants to do it. Like, what is that? What are his principles? Who is this team? I have no idea, but it's less than a half the way in the season. I think he's at great danger of losing this team. Like, it's a long way to go here. Thanks.
Absolutely in danger of losing this team. And I starting to open the door that I never thought I'd open to in danger of losing his job at some point, which I never thought I'd see coming. So nobody really sees practice during the season other than the national broadcasters not named Tom Brady because he's not allowed to. They get basically stretching attendance time, 10 minutes, whatever that is. During training camp, I'll be honest, I didn't love Gerard Mayo's practices. I thought there was a ton of time on conditioning and like form running. You'd be an hour into practice and feel like you hadn't done any football work yet. Now, we need to recall, we all said against the Bengals, wow, they were ready to play. So it's hard to now retroactively go back.
And they were in good conditioning, and they pushed them around.
Took them to the hill. Right, exactly. That whole thing.
Take them to the hill. We haven't heard that in a while.
Right. And I don't think you'll be hearing that anymore. That's like the boogeyman defense. Those are the ones you bury and move on from. But
they're still on the hill. They haven't gotten up the hill yet.
Right. So I didn't like the practice in the summer, but then they were ready to play on opening day more than the Bengals, more than some other teams looked like they were ready. Then it falls off and their tackling becomes an issue. Right. But I know they tackled a lot in camp. They were pretty physical in camp. They did a decent amount of tackling drills, and now they can't stop the run. what they're doing in practice. He emphasized that they'll be in pads on Wednesday. They're in pads every Wednesday. They practice hard. Now, he did leave the door open to practicing harder.
Right.
He did leave that door open to being more physical. But there's also limitations on that. Time, number of pads during the course of the season.
Yeah.
Like, your hands
CBA
are kind of...
stuff that you can't... Right, yeah, exactly.
You can't go all Bear Bryant and take him off to some camp for 8 weeks and beat the snot out of him like you used to be able to in the old days. So, I don't know that that's it. I think it's more inside than outside. I really do. I think it's want to. I go back to Devon Godshaw. I just didn't like the whole holdout. I didn't like the I need guaranteed money. I need this. I need that. I.
Well, he had the greatest coach of all time, so I'm calling him the greatest defensive lineman in the league. So.
And I think he believed it.
Yeah.
And then they gave...
I would. If you said that about me, I'd believe
sure.
it.
Sure. But then they gave him the money, and they kind of kowtowed to him. Like yep. the whole...
Well, not just him. I mean, they paid everyone.
Yeah. Well, not Judon. They got rid of him.
Except Judon.
You could have gotten rid of Godshaw. I don't know if anybody would have wanted him, but... So I still think he is a bit of an issue on this team.
Yeah, we'll see. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll take a quick break here and come back with some odds and ends around the NFL right after this. Odds and ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car could be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K and the number 4. It was an interesting weekend in the NFL, Andy. A couple of things that I just feel like we should touch on. Number one is... Tua Tagovailoa may be back, and in his press conference today, he said, I am not wearing that Guardian cap. It is a personal choice, and I'm just refusing to do it. And I heard that, and I thought, that's an interesting choice, Tua. Not that I think these things are the be-all, end-all, and that they're going to prevent concussions, but for a guy like him, who's had so many in such a short period of time, wouldn't you want to try and do whatever they had? Like, they don't have a lot of options. Alex Guerrero's not popping around with his concussion juice anymore.
The other
thing
he should wear, the cue collar, too, that everybody wears. If I were him, first of all, I don't know if I'd be coming back, but whatever, that's his own personal. You're right. If there's a 1% chance it works, wouldn't you throw it on?
You would think.
And then there's a 1% chance I got the cue collar, maybe. Well, I got a 2% chance now avoiding it.
Yeah.
I am not looking forward to seeing him play, watching him play, watching him get hit. You know who I feel bad about? In a weird way?
Tyreek Hill?
No, pass rushers.
Oh.
Like, are you going full bore into... And I know they can't even go full bore into any quarterback,
right.
But do I have to think about, I don't really want to be the one that ends your life or your career? Like, I don't really want to throw you down like I might throw another quarterback down? Like, that's sort of an unfair stressor to put on the defensive guys.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it. We saw the Patrick Mahomes run down the sideline. They're all scared to death of hitting quarterbacks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But two is even
people
more
were mad about that. Like, oh, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. It's like, you should be allowed to do that.
Brady's been doing it forever.
Push him out of bounds. Do something. Right. Don't just let him stand there and then run past
right.
you. You know, you can still push the guy
this
out of bounds.
This has been going on forever. The Patriots lost
a
playoff game because of it to the Steelers.
Right.
Where somebody was afraid. I forgot who was it. Ted Johnson or one of them was Chris Slade was afraid to hit the quarterback. Like, this has been going on forever. But it's even worse because those guys are at least just worried about a penalty and a fine.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy... You could end his life. You could end his, you know, he may be in a wheelchair or something if you hit him.
I know. It's not something you even want to think about. You mentioned the Steelers. Speaking of the Steelers, they had a big win over the New York Jets with Russell Wilson lining up at quarterback. I almost said in the backfield. But more importantly, Aaron Rodgers finally got his guy, Devontae Adams, who had, I think, 3 catches for 30 yards. His best play was after an interception, tackling the guy at the 1 yard line. The New York Jets also are going to get Hassan Reddick back. He ended his holdout, and they still seem to be in just as big of a mess as they were before they fired Robert Saleh, before they got Devontae Adams, before they did all these things. They're still just the Jets.
Yeah, what's their next? I mean, other than playing the Patriots, which is going to help their chances of getting a victory, like, what's their next card to play? They got rid of the coach. They traded for the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They brought back, which I thought you couldn't do. I need to study up on this. I thought the whole new CBA thing was you couldn't waive the fines. And they waived the fines. They agreed not to fine him like $12 million or something.
Really?
Yeah. So
I didn't know that.
I thought that had
been voided. I thought you couldn't do that. Yeah, I agree. I thought you couldn't
do that. So I need to do a little research there and how the hell Drew Rosenhaus got that done. But I don't know. Other than playing the Patriots and using that as your get-right opportunity, I think the get-right opportunity might be to get rid of the quarterback. I think the quarterback's the problem. His emotion and his ability.
Yeah. One team got rid of their quarterback, not in the way they maybe wanted to, and that's the Cleveland Browns, who Deshaun Watson on the field with a torn Achilles. Booze raining down on him from the Cleveland faithful, and that has caused quite a stir on the internet, as there's some people saying, hey, you should never boo an injury, and other people saying, hey, Deshaun Watson's a sexual predator, so, you know, who cares that he got injured and who cares that we booed him? I'm sort of on that side, I think, maybe more so than on the don't ever boo an injury. I mean, this isn't just some guy getting hurt. This is a guy who a lot of people thought shouldn't even be allowed to play.
This is a guy that feels like maybe karma caught up to him when other things didn't catch up to him.
Yeah.
The legal system didn't catch up to him. It didn't hinder his ability to make hundreds of millions of dollars guaranteed.
The most ignorant contract in the history of the NFL.
So karma caught up with him. Karma said, first, I'm going to make you terrible, and I'm going to make you suck for like 2 years. And then once you suck for long enough, I'm going to injure you.
Yep.
That's just my read from afar. Also, Cleveland fans are not innocent. Remember the way they handled it when he got there?
Yes.
They were like mocking the situation.
I know.
So y'all got in bed with that guy or whatever with him, and you deserve what you get.
Bad choice of words, maybe, but yes, I agree. Also, speaking of quarterbacks not being there, how about Marcus Mariota coming in for an injured Jaden Daniels and putting up 40 on the Carolina Panthers? I'll say this. I didn't expect the Panthers to win that game, but when Daniels went out, I thought, ooh, we might have an even thing here. And Mariota balled out. Why can't we get backup quarterbacks like him?
You probably could, because I wouldn't expect that to continue. I'm telling you.
You don't think he's going to do that week in and week out, Marcus
Mariota? I think he stinks. I think he absolutely stinks, and I don't know how he didn't stink in that game. He put up some great numbers.
He was good.
I think he missed his first three passes, and then like after that was balls, was absolutely awesome. That would also play into line, though, with your thinking, like they built a better team around. They have a better offensive coordinator who made use of his back, right? Like maybe the structure in place is better suited. It also helps that he's playing the Carolina Panthers, who stink.
Yeah.
We need to, petition the league to do Patriots-Panthers. I feel like that would be an actual fair fight game.
Have them play?
Yeah.
Like some sort of, what's the Premier League where, like, the team that loses?
Relegation.
Has to get relegated? Yeah, something like that.
Panthers-Patriots. Loser goes to the ACC.
Who do you think wins that game?
Patriots. I think the Panthers stink.
I think the Patriots stink.
No, I know, but the Panthers are stinky or stink.
I think they have more talent.
Who?
The Panthers.
I'm not sure about that.
I think
I can't even speak.
I'll take their wide receiver room.
Other than Leggett?
Deontay Johnson.
They
want to
trade
Adam
all of
Thielen.
Them. Did you listen to Adam Schefter? They want to trade all of them. He kept saying Carolina. He was a broken record.
That's because they suck. But the reason why they could trade him is because there might be some value there, and you might actually get something.
You
for
got
him.
Pop Douglas. You got Kendrick Bourne.
Popto Bisno.
Who else you got?
That's
Tyquan Thornton.
No, you don't. And finally, Joe Mazzulla was asked if there's pressure to repeat today, and he said there's no pressure because we're all going to be dead soon. Agree or disagree, there's no pressure to do anything because we're all going to die.
If you can actually believe that, I feel like that does remove a lot of stress. If you just accept that death is coming and everything in the between is just details, wouldn't that be sort of freeing?
I think so.
Now, do you think he actually believes that?
No, I don't, because I don't think he has any joy in his life. I feel like Joe Mazzulla has no joy in his life at all. He walks by flowers and the flowers wilt. Like, you know what I mean? It's just he never smiles. The only time
cloud.
He smiled was after he won the chance. He ran on the court and smiled for 1 second, and then he was right back there on the podium, just stone-faced, saying weird stuff and talking about the bullseye between his eyes. Like, that's it. He's not a very joyful man. I don't know.
Is that good or bad?
I don't know. I think it's actually kind of good for the team, in a way. Because he's not going to let them rest on their laurels. He's going to keep pushing. And
he's not going to let them get too high.
Right.
But what if he helps them be too low?
Mm.
That was what Drake was talking about. Sometimes you got to pump guys up.
True.
You got to lift them up. Is Joe Mazzulla the guy that's going to lift them up if they... Well, they're not going to go through a losing streak anyway.
I don't think so. Not this year.
I don't think they need to worry about
Maybe
it.
Someday in the future. Anyway, that's all the time we have here tonight. Stick around as we have, I believe, Fitzy and Mego. Is that the show tonight? They'll be taking you up until Monday Night Football. We're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll be actually live down at the Garden for the
Indeed.
Celtics in the opener. We just mentioned Joe Mazzulla. Maybe he'll come by and share some of his sunny personality with us down there at TD Garden. We will be at Big Night Live starting at 2 o'clock right here on WEEI. Enjoy the rest of your night, and keep it right here for Fitzy and Mego and Monday Night Football.
See you.